Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to our Dark Side of the Ring review show. You asked for it, so we're doing it. We're going to go over review season one. You can check out season one. It's available. I do it the legitimate way, man. I go on there on the YouTube channel, on the YouTube series playlist. It's all for purchase, like HD at $3 and SD for like, I don't know, $2 or whatever. So
also, it's all on demand on Xfinity if you have, Viceland, whatever station it's on.
Oh, okay, cool. Right on. So
part of your package.
Yeah.
You can get there, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's probably a bunch of, like, YouTube links that you can get. You just watch it for free. But, you know, I want to support, man. And doing it your way, doing it my way. It's a support. Anyways.
It's a great show. We should support it.
Yeah.
Not only in terms of our viewership, but support it so they make some money off it.
Yeah,
so
for
they
sure.
can keep doing it.
Yeah. So of course we're starting with season one, episode one. Are there 10, 8, how many episodes are there?
I think there's only six. Season one.
Okay. So, this is, a match made in heaven. Of course, documenting Macho Man and Elizabeth, their relationship. And, you know, as far as first episodes go, the funny thing about this is that, so it's called Dark Side of the Ring, and I really do believe that there is, I thought that there was a lot more to mine from the dark side aspect of things than was actually presented in this episode. I feel like you mentioned this, I'll let you say it because you mentioned it off camera first, but I felt the exact same way. What did you tell me off camera?
I felt like this episode of Dark Side painted a much rosier picture of the Macho Man Elizabeth story than WWE's own documentary on Macho Man did.
Yeah.
Granted, that was longer, so maybe they felt like they had more time to go into the dynamics of their relationship a bit more. But there's things I felt like they were just briefly touched upon in Dark Side that went to far more detail in the WWE documentary. And I don't know, it felt like in terms of his obsessive nature, his paranoia, it kind of just went over. I mean, apart from the stuff with Linda McMahon, Hogan's former wife, Linda.
Yeah.
Like she told the story of Elizabeth coming down to Miami, stay with them for a while. And while she was there in Miami, she apparently, you know, just kind of my understanding is that she was coming down to stay with them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she ended up not doing that.
She ran into some guy who had an extra room, evidently, and then she stayed there instead.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my take on it is similar to yours. I don't remember much of but I remember the general idea of that Macho Man doc that you're talking about. My thing about this is having seen that and just Macho Man's behavior as it pertains to Elizabeth was abusive. It wasn't. Now, it might not have been, hey, she's got bruises on her eyes abusive, like they claim it was later on with Lex Luger. But that level of possessiveness and, you know, coming down to Miami and acting, you know, like that kind of stuff was to a degree acceptable back in the 80s, where it's not like it, these days. That is not, it's been revealed. It's been accepted now that that's not acceptable behavior. This is like that level of possessiveness is basically like you can consider it illegal because like you can get restraining orders for that kind of behavior. I feel like they went too much in depth with the actual stories that were being told in the ring, as opposed to, I mean, they really could have shortened the amount of time they spent talking about the actual angles that were involved. You can talk about how they relate to what was going on in real life while minimizing what was actually happening. Like, I don't, Bruce Pritchard was there for so much of this, but I don't really know how much he was necessary because he was really just talking about like the stories that were playing out. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that like they did, I thought that they really sort of painted, as you say, a rosier picture than it was with Macho Man and Elizabeth. And that's why I was actually kind of surprised watching this that, you know, I was like, because especially this season of Dark, the season two was really they didn't pull a lot of punches. Like they really mm-hmm. went for, you know, telling it, trying, it seemed, it felt like, look, every documentary has a narrative. It has an approach.
Totally, totally, totally.
But, you know, they really did try to hit at the human emotion behind the darker aspect of these things. Like, you know, on the Dino Bravo episode, they went heavy on his daughter and his ex and his widow. And, you know, that was really powerful stuff. And you see how these people are affected by these events. Now, in this case, you know, Macho Man's no longer with us. Elizabeth is no longer with us. They didn't interview any of her family, which I don't know if they were
really contacted. The only member you could say of the inner circle,
mm-hmm.
As it pertains especially to Macho Man in the 80s, was Hogan's ex-wife Linda.
And I thought she was really good. I thought mm-hmm. that she painted as a bleak a picture as it was.
Yeah.
She's actually very charming. She actually comes off as a very charming person. I didn't watch any of the, I don't, was she on the Hogan reality show back in the day? I think she
yeah,
was.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
I didn't was. Watch much of that. But yeah, I was actually kind of disappointed that they, you know, to put it into context, the number of times I heard the phrase, he just really loved her. No, he wanted to own her. That's a different thing. Like, I know it is a complex thing and there's all sorts of shades of gray, and I'm sure he did love her. But, you know, that kind of behavior is somebody trying to take ownership of another person. So that was a bit, I was like, oh man, really? They're going to go this route with it, because they sort of went there kind of early on. I thought that was, you know, that was, it was what it was. That was like my biggest takeaway from it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. As you mentioned, season two, they really try to go to the heart, the emotional core of each story. And maybe they really couldn't do that with this because so many of the players...
Who's left, yeah.
Yeah, aren't with us.
Yeah.
Or it seemed like Macho Man kept a very tight circle.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, it was seemingly, you know, until his falling out with Hogan... It was himself, mm-hmm. it was Elizabeth, it was Hogan, it was his wife, it was his brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And apart from that, we don't really get much else.
Yeah.
Even Lanny Poffo, you know, like he, you know, that's his brother. I didn't feel like there was a whole lot of, granted, I think if I remember correctly, he was interviewed for the WWE Macho Man doc as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. I just don't remember him. Like in this, I don't feel like there's any more details regarding Macho Man's life, you know, the story that they're focusing on that wasn't already provided in the WB one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which you know, was, we're yeah, so used to WB,
Craig, that WB. Was a pretty extensive. They went over his, like, early baseball stuff and everything. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're so used, I think, to WB doing more or less puff pieces.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of broad generalizations of people's careers.
Mm-hmm.
And their documentaries, they can still be incredibly well done and effective.
Yeah.
But Macho Man is one of the first ones, if I remember correctly, that really went into more, shall we say, complex aspects of his persona, mm-hmm. not just in the ring, but out of the ring.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if they pulled punches on that, but it didn't feel like they pulled many.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And in fact, I recall that documentary being a much harsher indictment on Macho Man behind the scenes, Mm-hmm. I mean, look, a lot of people by a lot of different accounts, the boys all really loved Macho Man. Mm-hmm. Like Diamond Dallas Page has spoken very highly of him. A lot of people.
What's the last thing Bruce Pritchard said in the Dark Side episode? I think he said, I'll paraphrase, Macho Man was a really good guy.
Yeah. I have no doubt that's the case. It's just a relationship with Elizabeth, which, you know, is a bit more, you know, is a bit more ripe for, you know, some for investigation, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, if the theme of the episode, if the theme of the series is Dark Side of the Ring, then I want to look at how these lives are affected within the world, within the context of professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. What are their lives out, you know? We're presented in front of the camera with a story, with a narrative, sometimes like a fairy tale esque story, as in the case of Macho Man and Elizabeth. Yeah. And, you know, I want to know what the juxtaposition is behind the scenes. And I feel like they glossed over that a little bit. There are a couple of things that struck me as interesting in terms of like the details. Eric Bischoff's thoughts and opinions and feelings on Lex Luger were fascinating to me because. So he goes into this, he goes like, you know, for whatever reason, we have heard Eric Bischoff talk about Lex Luger during his professional career as somebody he didn't like professionally or personally.
Yeah, less than flattering terms. Yes. Don't know why, but it continued to this.
Still don't know why.
Yeah.
And then Luger ends up shacking up with Miss Elizabeth. That's weird because he's married with kids and he puts her up in a place in the same complex as his family, which is weird beyond belief.
Yeah.
Then they end up spending a night getting loaded on drink and pills. She ends up dying. You hear his really unsettling 911 call mm-hmm. where the lady is begging him to try to revive her. And it just sounds like he's sitting there either, you know, loaded off his freaking mind, not knowing what to do or where he's at, because he's just like, oh, my God, I'm so scared.
Yeah. And, or he's so basically paralyzed by fear and grief that he's unable to do anything.
That could be.
Or a combination of the two.
Yeah. So so in 2017, Bischoff brings him on the podcast. And when they're asking him on his podcast, and when the producer asks him, hey, you know, what were your feelings about bringing him on your podcast? And he says, well, they were very complex. I didn't know at the time if I should have. I didn't know how I would feel about this, but we did it. And then Luger tells his piece. And then he says, I believe him. I think he's honest. And I have a whole new respect for him. I feel like there was a chunk of dialogue there from Bischoff that's missing because I didn't understand where he made that leap to. Because if Luger was sort of the impetus of this route that Elizabeth ended up taking, you know, all of a sudden he's like, oh, yeah, he's, you know, he was there when she died. You know, he was they were getting loaded.
I guess my understanding was, and I don't know the basis of Bischoff's beef with Luger prior to this, but I guess my understanding of that was Bischoff didn't like him for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Maybe his expectations of Luger on the podcast were relatively low in terms of taking responsibility for his part and all that.
He thought he might have been defiant going in or something like that.
But my understanding is Bischoff saw Luger take responsibility, mm-hmm. be contrite.
Yeah.
And because of that, he's like, all right, I have respect for him now because he's taken responsibility.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, the only knock I've ever heard on Luger, although I loved when they introduced Lex Luger into the narrative. And who was it that said, I think it was Scott Hall who said,
yeah, the thing is, there's nothing wrong with him. Like he's perfect. Like there's nothing wrong. I'm like, what are you talking about? Anyways.
The only knock I've ever heard on Lex Luger, is that maybe it was the Bruiser Brody thing, or maybe it was later down the line, is that he had a bit of an ego on him.
Mm-hmm.
He had a bit of a big head. But again, as Scott Hall says, if you're perfect, you probably do have a big ego. Maybe that was what Bischoff didn't like. Maybe he felt that, you know, Larry Fall was just
had a bit of an inflated sense of himself. Given,
was just fall of himself.
Yeah, there you go. Huh.
That was terrible. Sorry.
It was bad. It was bad. I wasn't even aware that Luger appeared on Bischoff's podcast a few years back. I was not aware of that whatsoever.
Neither was I. No. you know, I mean, that was just interesting and kind of sad. Also, what was kind of sad was, or what was, I don't know, kind of interesting slash sad. And again, maybe it was a reflection of like, Macho Man's not around to be reflective on the event surrounding her death. But when that journalist or whoever it was mm-hmm. approached Macho Man and said, hey, you know, we lost Miss Elizabeth. What's your take on it? You would have thought his response would be a bit heavier, a bit more emotional. And maybe it's just because the Macho Man is used to being the Macho Man on camera. He separates that from the moments in his life where he is more emotional, you know, maybe crying or whatever. But like him and Elizabeth, they had quite the history. And he's like, oh, you know, we got our closure. We haven't talked for 5 or 6 years. I feel bad for her family. And I was like, that's kind of a, it's like when John Lennon died, a reporter approached McCartney outside his house yeah. like a day yeah. later. And McCartney said, oh, that's a drag. But when, and then, and the papers roasted him over it. And he was like, well, that's sort of out of context because, you know, when I was saying that, it was just the only words that I could really think of because I've been hit so hard by this. And so it wasn't, oh, it's a drag. It's, oh, it's a drag. Like sometimes you just don't have the words for stuff.
Exactly.
I thought that was kind of interesting. That Macho Man was, I mean, you know, he was, they said at the beginning of the show, you know, back then when Macho Man was on the rise, you lived your gimmick inside, you know, on
inside
camera and
outside
off
the ring. Yeah. Yeah. If you're crazy in the ring, they expect to be crazy outside of the ring too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and that's maybe one aspect they could have explored more. Was any of Macho Man's paranoia, possessiveness, kind of that spring forth from having to live that gimmick?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, how much of that was rooted in his character as Macho Man, as opposed to Randy Poffo?
Yeah.
You know, Eddie, I just don't know. You know, like Bruce Pritchard kind of talked about it, where, you know, exploiting, you know, real life storylines behind the scenes on camera, and sometimes, you know, it crosses over too much, but mm-hmm. not a whole lot of detail about that.
Yeah, yeah. Although I did, you know, the stories of him locking Elizabeth in like a different dressing room, they actually explain that one. You could actually see the reason with that.
Well, they say that there's wrestlers pooping in people's luggage and stuff. Yeah.
With just how rambunctious and, you know, this is the complete, I would imagine, just from anecdotally what we've heard, it's a much different time, you know, than it is now. So yeah, you can kind of see, you can kind of under, like, I'm not sure, like, you know, Lacey loves to be, you know, one of the boys, and she likes to, you know, she's always been friendlier with like guys and girls, but I could totally see why I wouldn't want her around a bunch of dudes like shitting in bags and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, who would want that? So, but yeah, no, I don't know. I do feel like it was sort of a missed opportunity to explore some deeper things there.
Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, there seemed to be a shift in terms of approach, in terms of approaching stories from the emotional core of whatever story is being told.
Mm-hmm.
Based on most of what I've seen from season one, I haven't seen all the episodes. The Bruiser Brody one is the exception because they have Tony Atlas telling his side of the story,
mm-hmm.
and it gets pretty darn emotional.
Yeah.
There. So I guess maybe it's the situation. Like the next episode, the Montreal Screwjob. You know, that's more of an informational thing.
Yeah.
I guess I know Bret Hart was heartbroken over the situation. Nonetheless, it's more like, hey, this is more the backstory of how that came to be. The Bruiser Brody one gets really to the emotional core of that story.
Right. Right.
I can't remember that. I watched the Von Erichs one, but I'm still familiar with that material, having watched the WCCW documentary. I don't recall if there's really anything new in that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all of them I've seen from season one. I never saw the Moolah one.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw the Gino one. So,
yeah, I saw a lot of the Moolah one, and yeah, hearing just all the people talk about her, it's pretty rough. But yeah, no, I mean, look, this is like the very first episode they did. So, you know, you can't expect them to be firing on all cylinders, but you know, the format is there. And I think it was Dutch Mantel doing the narration.
Yep.
Okay.
I think he does the narration for most episode one. Yeah.
Okay.
Or season one. Sorry. Season one.
Right. So, it is what it is. I do kind of wonder, though. I mean, we sort of talked about it. I wonder if just the fact that, like, nobody's left to really get to the emotional core of this. It is an interesting story, but, you know, it's one of the reasons why it's so great. I think the more resonant episodes are the ones where the major players involved
are still around to tell their story.
Are able to tell the story, and that, you know, that's always the most powerful way to go. But yeah. What do we know? What is the next episode? What's episode?
Montreal Screwjobs next?
Okay, episode. Cool. That'll be fun. That's a fun one. Cool. Anyways, hopefully you guys enjoy this, and we'll do this for this run of episodes, and then I don't know.
Next 5 weeks, next 6 weeks, we'll do this, and after that, who knows?
Everything's up in the air, seemingly, with everything in the world. Anyways, thanks everybody. Appreciate you tuning in. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.